Hey, baby. Don't get in no trouble.
Nah, we're just trying to win this dance
club. You're staying alive on 101.9 with Marco on Astrotop.
We got the Refugees All-Stars, Rubber Dubbin in the club, Y Club Jean.
Cause shorty got back. Should I ask her for a dance? Hold on, there's too many in the wolf pack. And besides, dirty cash talking to her, buying her fake furs and taking her to the fever.
Welcome, you're listening to CITR 101.9. It's Thursday, it's 3 o'clock, and it's time for another one half hour of astronomy talk with your host Marco on CITR's Astro Talk.
Ouija's, check the spelling, R-E-F-U-G-E. Get the CD from Sam Goody. You ain't even close with the rhymes that you wrote. Don't be mad cause you broke. Let me clear my throat.
You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco on CITR 101.9 FM.
Me, I'm eating mangoes in Trinidad with attorneys. Yeah. My food slang flow worldwide like a current. Whip to every spot where nobody got insurance. Rubber do the math, you ain't half niggas out of. My man's claim true, you forget about it. Ho-ho, just a new sense, like my influence.
Good afternoon, well, Marco and Astrotalk. It is Oops, we're nuts, summer, baby. Summer next charismatic, week. Automatic, you and because it's summer, that, my the earth survive. Is we at its farthest you, distance stay from the sun. Okay, the earth. In its elliptical orbit, comes its closest to the. Sorry, let's start it again. The Earth comes its closest to the Sun in winter, and it's the coldest time of the year. Now, it's the farthest. So it shows that in the summer, when we have the most heat, the Earth is the farthest from the Sun. So that has really nothing to do with how hot or how cold our Earth gets. It's to do with the tilt of the axis, I guess. So today I'm going to talk a little bit more about Pluto. And just to remind you, one day I hope to get in our new superstar from UBC. She discovered 4 or 5 planets. So Michelle Kunimoto, will get her in one day. She's in, I think, Montreal. So scientists like Michelle, they gauge, or when they find a planet, they do it this way. They look at a star that's very far away, and then when a planet crosses in front of or between us and the star, the amount of light that we receive from the star dips ever so little. By measuring the amount of this dip, astronomers can deduce, well, there's a planet there. So what happens each time the planet orbits? When it crosses in front, in between us and the star, it will dip the intensity of the light coming to us just by a small amount. So that's how they measure it. And it's cyclical, it's periodic, so that's how they can tell it's a planet. And for this method, of course, the planet has to be looking at us head on. It has to come right in between us and the star. If it circles up top, we can't see that. We can't see the dipping of the light. So I'm going to talk more about Pluto's moons and Pluto itself. As you may recall, last July 14th, 2015, that's almost 1 year ago. It's about 11 months and a few days. The New Horizons spacecraft zipped by Pluto. It didn't stop. It didn't circle. It just zipped by. So scientists weren't sure what they were going to get when they went by. The data keeps coming back. It'll take 2 or 3 years for all the data to send back. But this particular article, dated June 23rd, so I guess that is today, it says a super Grand Canyon on Pluto's moon, Charon. Pluto's largest moon, Charon, is home to an unusually large canyon system that's far longer and deeper than the Grand Canyon on Earth. Up in said above, so the article is on www.nasa.gov. It's about New Horizons, dated June 23rd, 2016. And the article says, a super Grand Canyon on Pluto's moon, Charon. That's the title. The inset above, so the picture above, shows a magnificent magnification of a portion of the eastern limb of Pluto in a global view. Oh, sorry. In a global view, not of Pluto, of the moon Charon, imaged by NASA's New Horizons spacecraft several hours before its closest approach on July 14, 2015. A deep canyon, informally named Argo Chasma, is seen grazing the limb. The section over here measures approximately 185 miles, but scientists think the total length of this canyon on Pluto's moon Charon is 430 miles long, for example, or let's make that 700 kilometers long. For a comparison, Arizona's Grand Canyon is 280 miles or 450 kilometers long. So our Grand Canyon is about 60% as big as Pluto's. So Pluto's canyon, called Argo Chasma, is about 1.6 times longer than the Grand Canyon. But not only that, it is 5 times deeper than the Grand Canyon. So Argo Chasma is as deep as 5.5 miles or 9 kilometers, which is more than 5 times the depth of the Grand Canyon. So it has a much bigger canyon than what we have on Earth. As this fortuitous view and angle, the canyon is seen edge-on, and the northern end of the canyon, its depth can be easily gauged. Based on this and other images taken around the same time, New Horizons scientists estimate Argo Chasma to be as deep as 5.5 miles, 5 times deeper than the Grand Canyon. There appear to be locations along the canyon's length where sheer cliffs reaching several miles high occur, and which could potentially rival Verona Rupes on Uranus's moon Miranda, which is at least 3 miles or 5 kilometers high, for the title of the tallest known cliff face in the solar system. So we're not number one on Earth. The Verona Rupes on Uranus's moon Miranda has 5 kilometer high cliffs. This image was obtained by New Horizons Long Range Reconnaissance Imager. It's a big word. LORI, LORRI, at resolution of approximately 1.45 miles per pixel. It was taken at a range of approximately 289,000 miles before New Horizons' closest approach to Charon. So these are pictures that are from almost 300,000 miles away. Nothing like we would do on Earth. So that's one of the things I mentioned about space, is that the lengths, the times, the distance scales, all these things, energy scales, they're so much more bigger than anything we encounter in our everyday life, and that includes speeds. Now I'm going to look at another article, The Jagged Shores of Pluto's Highlands. So this is an article from June 9th, 2016. And it shows a picture. So again, this is on NASA's website, nasa.gov. That article is titled The Jagged Shores of Pluto's Highlands. This enhanced color view from NASA's New Horizons spacecraft zooms in on the southeastern portion of Pluto's Great Ice Plains, where at lower right, the plains border rugged, dark highlands, informally named Krun Makula. That's a nice name. So Krun is K-R-U-N, Makula is M-A-C-U-L-A. I wonder where they get these names from. Here, it's telling me now. Krun is the lord of the underworld in the Mandean religion, and a macula is a dark feature on a planetary surface. So that's where Krun Malanda comes from. So Krun is the lord of the underworld. Wow. Pluto is believed to get its dark red color from tholins, complex molecules found across much of the surface. Krun Malanda rises 1.5 miles or 2.5 kilometers above the surrounding plain, informally named Sputnik Plenum, and is scarred by clusters of connected, roughly circular pits that typically reach between 5 and 8 miles across and go up 1.5 miles. Now, I'm going to venture a guess here and say, well, what are these pits from? Are they comets? What are they? I guess this article will tell us now. At the boundary with Sputnik Plenum, these pits form deep valleys reaching more than 25 miles long and 12.5 miles wide and almost 2 miles deep. Almost twice as deep as the Grand Canyon in Arizona. That's interesting. So it seems the Pluto region has a lot of canyons that are much deeper than the Grand Canyon. That's interesting. Nobody would have guessed that. And they have floors covered with nitrogen ice. New Horizons scientists think that these pits may have formed through surface collapse. So that's the question I was asking. How did these pits form? Although what may have prompted such a collapse is a mystery. This scene was created using three separate observations made by New Horizons in July 2015. The right half of the image is composed of 260 feet per pixel data from the Long Range Reconnaissance Imager, or LORI, L-O-R-R-I, obtained at 9,850 miles, about 23 minutes before New Horizons' closest approach. So while New Horizons was zooming into Pluto, it was taking pictures of everything, Pluto, the moons. It was very busy. The left half of the picture is composed of 410 feet per pixel LORI data, obtained 6 minutes earlier when New Horizons, 15,470 miles from Pluto. These data respectively represent portions of the highest and second highest resolution observations obtained by New Horizons in the Pluto system. The entire scene, was then colorized using 2,230 feet per pixel data from New Horizons RELF Multispectral Visual Imaging Camera, MVIC, obtained at 2,100 miles from Pluto, about 45 miles before closest approach. Just a few years ago, I think I heard a comment in terms of how much was known about Pluto. And I think someone said, you could put all our knowledge of Pluto on a piece of paper or two. There wasn't much known about Pluto because it was so far away, and even Hubble Space Telescope couldn't image much. So with this flyby last year, with this data, the Pluto textbooks are being rewritten. When I return, I'll do more about Pluto, and we'll talk about other things. Marco, you're listening to Astro Talk on CTR 101.9.
Well-known pimp, narcotics king, big-time racketeer, back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Come on. I won't let you down. Follow me.
Exploding Head Movies, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
That's it. Pack it up.
You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco on CITR 101.9.
Let's do some quick yes or no questions. Are the following things technically possible? Life on other planets, is that theoretically possible?
Yes.
Okay. What about a Schwarzschild wormhole?
Yes.
Okay, what about this? Me going on a date with Charlize Theron?
No.
What, not at all? In no universe?
No.
In none of the infinite universes does that happen?
No.
It's completely beyond the bounds of scientific possibility, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Quick follow-up question. In any of those potential universes, am I the one rejecting her and that's why it doesn't work out?
No. Realize that typing your response is difficult for me, correct?
Okay, sure, yeah, it's just I'm trying to play this out because it just I'm just trying to see if there was any hypothetical hope.
No.
It doesn't matter. But never say never. Okay, if time travel were possible, would you want to go back in time and refuse to do this interview?
Yes.
You truly are an incredibly smart man. Stephen Hawking, thank you so much for your time.
Welcome back. We are talking about Pluto. Just as an aside here, I was reading about the when neutron stars form or when black holes form, there's these jets sometimes, and sometimes there's not, jets of energy shooting out of the poles of the matter that's going into the black hole. So they're called gamma ray bursts. Sometimes there's long, less than 2 seconds, or there's long or short. No, short is less than 2 seconds. Long range gamma ray bursts are greater than 2 seconds. When a gamma ray burst for a couple of seconds, for example, shoots its energy out of its poles, it could release as much energy as the sun could release in its whole lifetime, even much more than that. So I hope to go back to that one time, because when I was reading about the gravitational waves before that, scientists were saying that these jets of gamma rays that shoot out of the poles of a black hole when matter is accreting, matter is forming around in a circle like a traffic jam, waiting its turn to be eaten up by the black hole, jets of gamma rays shoot out of opposite poles, very energetic jets. So before, scientists were saying these were the most energetic things in the universe, but they could maybe release as much energy as one galaxy releases. When the gravitational waves were detected earlier this year, scientists were saying the amount of light energy released by the event was all the light energy of 100 universes. So that's much more than a gamma ray burst. So I'm going to look into that. I'm going to see why scientists before said gamma rays were the most energetic phenomena in the universe, but now it seems that gravitational waves, when a gravitational wave is produced, like when those two black holes merge. So I'll look into that. And for now, we're going back to our solar system and going to talk about Pluto. So this is an article on May 4th, January, February, March, April, May. It was last month, about a month and a half. And it's from NASA.gov. And it said, Pluto's interaction with the solar wind is unique, or so says a study. 4 images from New Horizons Long Range Reconnaissance Imager are, again, that name, LORRI, L-O-R-R-I. So remember that, Long Range Reconnaissance Imager, LORRI, were combined with color data from the RALF instrument. So there's an instrument called RALF and an instrument called LORRI, perfect mates, to create this global view of Pluto. The images, taken when the spacecraft was 280,000 miles away from Pluto, show features as small as 1.4 miles. So here goes the article. Pluto behaves less like a comet than expected and somewhat more like a planet like Mars or Venus in the way it interacts with the solar wind. And the solar wind is a continuous stream of charged particles from the sun. I may have read this a bit last time, but I'm going to read the whole article this time. This is according to the first analysis of Pluto's interaction with the solar wind, funded by NASA's New Horizons mission and published today in the Journal of Geophysical Research. Space Physics by the American Geophysical Union. Using data from the solar wind around Pluto. So now we're going to call the solar wind around Pluto SWAP. So SWAP is solar for S, W is wind, A is around, P is Pluto. From the SWAP instrument from New Horizons July 2015 flyby, scientists have for the first time observed the material coming off Pluto's atmosphere and studied how it interacts with the solar wind, leading yet to another Pluto surprise. So says David J. McConnis, lead author of the study. McConnis is a professor of astrophysical science at Princeton University and vice president for the Princeton Plasma Physics Laboratory. So says David P. McConnis, this is a type of interactions we've never seen before anywhere in our solar system. The results are astonishing. Space physicists say they now have a treasure trove of information about how Pluto's atmosphere interacts with the solar wind. Solar wind is the plasma that spews from the sun into the solar system at a supersonic 100 million miles per hour or 160 million kilometers per hour, bathing planets, asteroids, comets, and interplanetary space in a soup of mostly protons and electrons. Previously, most researchers thought that Pluto was characterized more like a comet, which has a large region of gentle slowing of the solar wind, as opposed to the abrupt diversion solar wind encounters at a planet like Mars or Venus. Instead, like a car that's part gas and partly battery powered, Pluto is a hybrid, researchers say. So Pluto continues to confound. So says Ellen Stern, a New Horizons principal investigator. These results speak to the power of exploration. Once again, we've gone to a new kind of place and found ourselves discovering new kinds of expressions in nature. Since it is so far from the sun, an average of about 3.7 billion miles, the farthest planet in the solar system, and because it's the smallest, scientists thought Pluto's gravity would not be strong enough to hold heavy ions in its extended atmosphere. But Pluto's gravity clearly is enough to keep material relatively confined. The researchers were able to separate the heavy ions of methane, the main gas escaping from Pluto's atmosphere, from the light ions of hydrogen that come from the sun using the SWAP instrument. And again, let's go back to the article. What's SWAP? SWAP is the solar wind around Pluto instrument. Among other Pluto findings, one, like Earth, Pluto has a long ion tail that extends downwind at least a distance of 100 Pluto radii, almost three times the circumference of the Earth, loaded with heavy ions from the atmosphere and with considerable structure. Number two, another finding about Pluto. Pluto's obstruction of the solar wind upwind of the planet is smaller than had been thought. The solar wind isn't blocked until about the distance of a couple of planetary radii, about the distance between Chicago and Los Angeles. Fact number three, Pluto has a very thin boundary of Pluto's tail of heavy ions and the sheath of the shock solar wind that presents an obstacle to its flow. Heather Elliott, an astrophysicist at SWRI and co-author of the paper, says, comparing the solar wind-Pluto interaction to the solar wind interaction for other planets and bodies is interesting because the physical conditions are different for each and the dominant physical processes depend on those conditions. These findings offer clues to the magnetized plasmas that one might find around other stars, said McConus. The range of interaction with the solar wind is quite diverse, and this gives some comparison to help us better understand the connections in our solar system and beyond. So when I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Pluto, but now we're going to listen to something about Nardwar. This is Marco. You're listening to AstroTalk on 101.9.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate, remember Pilate from the New Testament?
Pontius Pilate, he fiddled well.
Just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Nardwar Show. What's your job?
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
You're back with Marco on Astro Talk on CITR 101.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. This is Marco on AstroTalk. I've been talking about some findings about Pluto, some of its moons, and these findings have astounded astronomers. And remember, before what we knew about Pluto, we could probably put on one or two pages. It was so far away that even the Hubble Space Telescope could not image it very well. So hopefully in the future, I'll get more astronomers on. I hope to get Michelle Kunimoto, the famous, now famous UBC physicist or astrophysicist that discovered the new planets. And I'm going to look into this gamma ray burst and see, because I've been reading that they're the most powerful things in the universe, but no, the gravitational waves that were produced, that event is more powerful. So I will hopefully go to Washington State soon and do an interview with some of the scientists and researchers that discovered the gravitational waves. I have a standard invitation to go there. So I'm going to go and maybe do a special show a couple hours long. I'm going to interview some scientists and get a tour of the legal facility where they discovered the gravitational waves. So thank you for listening. This is Marco. You've been listening to Astrotalk. We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Do you like Friends? Well, we like you. So become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gives you all kinds of deals with our friends on Main Street, including 10% off at Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Red Cat Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.